What up? It's Pope the Blueprint, the host of the number one networking show. And I like to take the first couple of seconds of each show to highlight any local brands that I may be wearing. And tonight I am wearing Majestic Behavior, which is a local brand here in Baltimore. So I encourage everybody to support your local brands. Now we have a special guest in the virtual building tonight. How you feeling tonight?
I'm doing well. I can't complain. Listen, it's hot outside in Minnesota, but it's great.
Yeah. And so before we get into the journey, all of the entrepreneurial endeavors that you're involved in, if you can just introduce yourself, let everybody know where you're from, and just a brief overview of what you do, and we get ready to take it back to day one.
Absolutely. So hi, everyone. I am Brianna Edwards. Hopefully y'all can see me because, you know, this lighting isn't doing me justice. I'm just playing. I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota, born and raised. I am a former professional basketball player turned entrepreneur / special education teacher / basketball coach and all these other great things. So I have my own spice company, my own hair care, which also beard care too, which I got to send you some, by the way. Get your beard nice and soft. And then I also have my own podcast, Talk and Spit podcast, boop, just like that. So yeah, that's me. That's what I do.
Time out. I know all that. I know about the basketball now, because I know you were getting excited about the game, but it didn't dawn on me.
So, you know, I used to dibble and dabble, you know, every now and then. You know, I played overseas for a little bit. You know, I went to Providence College in Rhode Island, which is out on the east. That's how I told you that, you know, your accent was really easy. My teammate was from Baltimore. So, yeah, you know, I did a little bit.
Now, let's unravel this a little bit, right? Because I guess we got to go way back, because you're an entrepreneur now. You have so many endeavors. You know, I personally came across your page on the spices, right? But what came first? I'm assuming the basketball came first, right? Because I'm sure you had to start young. How young were you when you started to play and really get passionate?
So I started playing at 12. So I started late compared to a lot of kids. Actually, before I started playing basketball, I was a competition dancer. So I did tap, ballet, and jazz, which is really funny, right? And so I used to do pageants and all that. And then I stopped doing gymnastics and I just kind of had this growth spurt. And then like basketball, like just took off after there. But honestly, originally the first reason why I picked up a basketball is because of the boy in my sixth grade class. He was shooting in the gym. And I was like, I got to figure out a way to, you know, meet him halfway. So I was rebounding for him. And a coach seen me with another little girl. It's like, come to our team. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm just here because he's here. But yeah, after that was history. So basketball came first. I started playing at 12. By the time I was 14, I was on varsity. And then after that, it was just kind of history. I played in New York, in AAU. I did all that extra stuff. That's where my parents are from, by the way. So my mom and my dad are originally from Harlem, New York. So.
Okay, now that makes sense that you were rooting for Brooklyn. You know, because you said you were going for the Brooklyn Nets. I'm like, going for the Brooklyn Nets in Minnesota?
And I'm in Minnesota,
I'm like,
right? The Timberwolves ain't gonna never be in the playoffs, so shoot, I might as well root for somebody else.
Now, as you were going through your basketball career, did you have that spark of entrepreneur thinking long term? When did that entrepreneurial bug hit you?
I think honestly, for myself, I think originally I just wanted to kind of work for myself and have my own money, but I didn't know how. Originally, the very first thing outside of basketball that I became passionate about is like commentating. So I did a lot of commentating. Like Doris Burke is one of my mentors because she went to Providence College. And so I got to shadow her and stuff and figure out the whole background. So I used to do sports commentating and then like debate sports. Like that was like the first thing I started doing and making money for. And so if I would say it came first, would be like my podcast, which even though I relaunched it last, but that was the buzz of like, wait, I can get paid just to talk. Oh, this is easy. And so even when I was a young kid, we used to like mock Jerry Springer, and I was always Jerry, and like my cousins were the guests. So that was like the first thing that he was like, you know what? I can make money off of me just having a conversation with somebody. But then business, that was something completely, something I didn't even expect, especially my spices. Like, I didn't even know that that was going to be something that I could even make money off of. It was because a cousin is the reason why I launched it. I didn't even think about it. So kind of give you some backstory.
Yeah.
So Love It Seasoning is a year old. My baby turned one May 3rd of this year. And originally when I created it, my mom's obsessed with seafood, right? And so my mom has high blood pressure. So I wanted to find a way that I can create that same like seafood boil type thing without all the extra sodium. And so I was just playing around with spices. And then I figured out how to control the sodium level in the spices. And so I made it for my mom and she loved it. And I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. And then like a week later, I made it for my cousin for her birthday. And she was like, yo, cuz you got to sell this. I'm like, girl, all I was doing was playing around with spices. And so I talked to my pops and he let me know that it's legally that you can like, say for instance, you had your favorite combination of your chicken, right? Like you use lari, lemon pepper, garlic powder, and you mix it together. You know, you can bottle that and resell that. That's just dropping the gym on y'all. Anytime you change a product and you add something different, it becomes a whole different product and you legally can sell it. And so once my dad told me that, I was like, wait, I can sell a recipe? Like, I'm literally selling a recipe. And when I figured out how much sodium was in it, I talked to one of my old math nerd teachers, which I love. Shout out to Mr. Bratton, smartest man I know. And he figured out how to control how I can figure out how much sodium is exactly in each bottle. And once I figured that out, I did my nutrition facts. I printed it out and I started selling it. And that was on a whim. That's not even what I was passionate about. That was my cousin that is the reason why I launched that.
Shout out to the cousin. Where you at? Shout out to you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that's very important, right? Because I think a lot of times when we're operating in our greatness, other people may recognize it first, right? Yep. Because if your cousin didn't say anything, you'd probably be a year later doing the same thing. I mean, what do you think you would have thought about it? Would have hit you at a certain point?
I never in a million years would think that I would be selling spices. Like, I'm going to be completely honest. Like, I've never, ever, ever been passionate about food in that aspect. Don't get me wrong. I can cook, but I hate cooking. So, like, people ask me all the time, like, yo, no, I don't like cooking. It takes too long, right? And so it's really funny how when you just stay still, and you allow God to direct your path, he puts people in your life to make things and order your steps. Like even now, like I never have to worry about, mind you, I work full time too, but I have businesses that also give me money as well. And I'm in a great position, not saying that I'm making buku money, but just to be in a position that an idea is something that makes money for me is a blessing in itself. And so I would never. Now my hair stuff, that's what I really wanted to do. That's my baby. That's my passion. Like, that's my bread and butter, my mean potatoes. Like, that is, like, almost equal to how I feel about my podcast.
Now, before we get to the hair care, because I told you, you got a lot. We gotta unpack this seasoning real quick, right? Now, was it a long, strenuous process trying to patent it? Or, like, what is those steps? Like, is that... what is that like? Because I've never thought about seasonings like that.
So what I did is, of course, I did my doing business ads. So I purchased the name. I had my nephew, shout out to my nephew, Cameron Romaine Edwards. He's 10, my baby. I went to my nieces and nephews. I said, yo, I got a seasoning. I want to sell it. Somebody help me come up with a name. I give $20. They all went to their room. They ate 10, 12, and 14. They all went to their room writing stuff down. He came back and he was like, all right, Bree, I have this idea. I love it. Let's call it Love It Seasoning. And I was like, you know what, nephew, you on to something. And so once I figured out the name, of course, I purchased my name. And then I purchased my LLC probably like 4 or 5 months after. I was doing it as like a sole proprietor. And then this year is what really got me into understanding the insurances that come about handling food. Like, you have to have certain insurances. Even if I want to go into the grocery store, which that's the long-term goal, I have to purchase a larger insurance, but that insurance is very expensive. So right now I do farmer's markets. So I have like food handling insurance to protect me from my spices, of course. And then if I go into the grocery store, I have to physically change the location. I have to have like a licensed kitchen or a licensed factory to be able to have it in, or something that's completely separate from my household. So like those are all the things that kind of come from it. So making sure I purchase my name so that I own the name. Even no one's ever going to be able to tell. They're not going to be able to duplicate because they don't know. I know the measurements. Like I physically, in the beginning, I used to be hand scooping. It was horrible. Like I hand label. I don't hand mix anymore. I got a mixing machine. Thank God I have a mixing machine. I have a little scale. It kind of looked like a drug shop. Like I feel like I'm cutting up some cocaine and put it in bottles. Because when I'm done, like, because I put like a hairnet on, I wear a mask. Like I'm covered in spices. My dread, my locks smell like spices. It's crazy. It's crazy. But yeah. So in the beginning, it was very hard because I was hand mixing like this. And then one of them required brown sugar. So you know, sometimes brown sugar has lumps. So you gotta like break it down. I'd be in the kitchen for hours, but now it's not as hard. It's super easy. It's probably the easiest thing now that I went to a bottle. I just dumped on measurements by size and then I mix it, I package it and I'm done. Well, after I hand label it too. I'm getting a label machine. I can't wait. But then it will be more so just machines helping me out.
Man, I'm loving your energy. I'm loving the game that you're sharing because, you know, honestly, that's why I love interviewing people and interviewing other entrepreneurs because you learn so much. My goal is to be a part of inspiring our community to think beyond what we can see, right? Because I'm a huge LeBron fan. He's not in the playoffs anymore. You know what I mean? But well, everybody.
I'm going to say bad connection. Connection is bad.
You know what I mean? So everybody's not going to be a LeBron or a Jay-Z, hence the Pope, the blueprint. But we all can think and be creative and create something, right? And so I just said that to say thank you for sharing, like, you know, just sparking people's minds to say, you know what? I've been playing around with a few things. Let me try something now because, you know what I mean? I love lemon pepper season, a little Old Bay and this and that. And I'm not going to make any seasons, but I'm saying I'm sure some chefs out here like, you know what? I can take my thing to the next level.
Absolutely, 100%. And even another gym, say these chefs have restaurants. They don't have to require, they don't have to get those new insurances. They can just sell it out their store, like their restaurant. So they don't have to worry about all those food insurances that come with like additional ones that come with actually moving. They just sell out their restaurant because they're already covered through the restaurant.
That's heavy. That's heavy. And then, so which season? Because the last I've seen, you had like three combinations of seasoning. Yeah, okay, which one came first and which ones do you have? Name them all for us.
So mild came first, of course, because that was the first blend of it. Mild went through some hectic ups and downs of the recipe because eventually, first mild was too hot. And I was like, I couldn't have a mild that was like, before I started selling it, I was like having people try it. And they're like, this is too hot. Okay, this isn't sweet. So I was like, all right. Boom. So I wind up taking one ingredient out. I'm like, okay, this is now a mild. And then my mom was like, well, we like spicy. So I was like, okay, how the heck am I going to make this spicy? So I was like, all right. So I was messing with the measurements to figure out spicy so that got like a perfect spice. And then I was like, well, I got a spicy. I need to have a sweet. And so then that's how it kind of happened. But mild happened first, was the first one I started to sell. And then like maybe a week later, I launched the sweet and the spicy. And I just kind of went from there. And I used to sell, I wish I had a picture. I had bags and I used to write spicy on the bag.
You just was making it happen. You was just making it happen.
I did. Like, you know, your Snapchat memories come up and my Snapchat memory came up and it showed like my first bags and it was hilarious. Like it was handwritten, said spicy on it.
Now, did you have to study anything to really come up with the right combinations of taste and flavor, or is just trial and error?
It was trial and error. So what I did is like, so going to school, I'm a researcher by heart, right? And thank God that I went to college because it developed like the idea, like you can find information as long as you look for it. So I just started watching a couple different like combinations of people, how they make their seafood boils. Because originally it was only a seafood boil seasoning. Like that was the idea. And I was like, nah, my family doesn't like that. No, my family won't like that. So I kind of took like a couple of different videos and things that I read up on And I kind of made it my own of what I would like or what my family would like.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And then, so what are like the next steps for the season, right? Because I think you said you want to expand them out. How would that process even look? Like, how would you even go about
it? So in order for expansion, so I'm actually working on expansion right now. So this year, I registered for farmers markets, which I do really well at the farmers markets. And I'm excited about it because it's the first time that I can go somewhere. Because, of course, farmers markets close. So just to break down the numbers, I paid like $560 to be in a farmers market for the whole summer. I've made that back times three already, and I've only done two farmers markets.
Wow. So, and you know what? Because you also, beyond the product, let's beyond the product, your personality is through the roof.
Thank you. I appreciate the energy
that you have. Like, you know, I'm sure you're so inviting. Like, what is your farmer's market game? Because a lot of people are setting up that vending shop. Like, how do you operate to already then triple your investment, which you done cooked up in the kitchen?
Absolutely. And you know what's funny that you said that? So, like, I bring my nieces and nephews, like, I'm not first gen for college, but I'm first gen legal entrepreneur. Okay. Just throwing that out there. All right, y'all. Legal entrepreneur. And so I bring my nieces and nephews I bring one of them every other one, just so they can see. Like, they see me create this in the kitchen, they see me label it. I just want them to understand that you can create your own path. And so when I'm sitting there, I'm not gonna lie, I'm naturally an introvert, by the way. Most people don't think so. Once I get done with this, I'm probably gonna take a nap. But when I'm at the farmer's market, I say good morning or good afternoon to every individual that walks past my table. I acknowledge every single person, no matter who you are. And some people stop. And also, I worked in sales. So, like, I knew in sales that you have to acknowledge people. People buy from people who they like. You got 10% of people who are always going to buy. They're going to buy just because they want to buy. You got 10% of people that are never going to buy. They don't want to buy. They'll feel when they want to feel. But you got that middle 80% that are on the fence. And they're buying from people that they actually like. So when I see people, I'm like, good morning, how's your day? I'll probably make a joke about the weather, or I might talk to their children, and then they'll look and they're like, oh, so what do you have here? And then I get to tell them about my spices.
That's key. That's key. You know what I mean? Because sometimes people think because they have a superb product that it'll outweigh their nasty attitude.
Nope. You gotta, like, even something that I did yesterday, like, I have my hair oils and my beard oils. I love them. I love that I make them. And this is solely off a segue. But I went and I handed them out at barbershops with my business cards. Like, I dropped off samples of, like, all right, this is me. Hi, I'm Brianna. Here's my beard oils. Here's my hair oils. I do wholesale prices. And it's like, if you want to really be a business owner, you have to understand there's a certain level of work that you have to do that has nothing to do with your product. Nothing whatsoever. Everything that I did was me making sure people knew my face and I can have a conversation. I can converse with them, find out what they want. I'm hearing a whole bunch of barbers like, well, I want to start my own product line. I said, great, because I can make your own personal oils and sell them to you in bulk. So it's like conversations and things that people think that they just see the finished product, but they don't know I stand on my feet for hours labeling bottles, pouring spices, and then I go and sell. Like, I do it all by myself. I don't have no one sitting in my kitchen helping with my hair oils, my beard oils, editing my podcast. I just hired a producer, thank God. But at the first year, it was just me. And I worked full-time.
You talking heavy. You giving them $1 million worth of game because...
I hope so.
I mean, I know so. Because the thing about it is you're telling them about putting in the work, right? Like, a lot of people want the titles, but they don't want to put in the work that comes with it. It's a lot of underground work so you can shine.
100%. It's like, as much as I would love to say that the things that you put out into the world speaks for themselves, that's not true. I always know that you don't work, you get what you work for, not what you want. Your life is a product of what you work for. My apartment, my car, my degrees, everything that I've ever accomplished in my life, I had to work for it. No one's handing things out. And if you're blessed enough to find that one moment someone give you an opportunity, you're still going to have to work to keep that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. And the satisfaction won't be there because it's something about, it's an anointing. It's something that's in us when we were created to produce, absolutely, to work. Like when a man don't work, that's when he become bitter. He become abusive, yep, because it's something that was placed in him that's not being nourished and fulfilled.
100%. I agree.
I think my phone is smoking right now. We giving out so much heat. You know what I mean? So that's dope, right? And then so take us into the journey of the hair care products, because now did that come after the season or before?
So I would say it came before, but it was launched after. So
okay,
I knew that people always ask me. So I've been natural for like 8 years. I've cut my hair 4 times, and it grow like wildfire, right? And so I've been really, I had to figure out how to, like, I'm the first person in my immediate family that figured out how to take care of our hair without all this extra stuff that they put in, like, to understand the chemicals that go into the product, or why my mom was getting alopecia in certain areas, or why my hair turned gray in one spot, then went back to being black when I went natural. So it's like, I sat and I researched all these things. And so when I realized, I'm like, all right, boom. So Brianna, how can you, it works for you, but can it work for somebody else? So I moved back home like 2 years ago from Rhode Island. And so I tried it out on my family for a year. I tried all my oils out on my brother. I tried my beard oil on him. I tried my hair oil on my nieces and my nephews and my mom. And everybody here was growing like wildfire. I was like, wait a second, I might have something. So then I was like, you know what? I'm going to drop it. So I ordered a bunch of products and I launched with 50 bottles. I launched with 50 bottles. I was like, hey, I got these bottles. And that sold out in 2 months, like a month and a half, maybe. Mind you, I just told my best friend, a couple people, and I sold those bottles. I was like, I wonder. And so I was like, how can I, now the oil that I sell, I've been using that for like 6 years. So me personally. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, maybe I could push this heavier to other people. So now I'm like, all right, I make my oils. I'm excited. This Saturday is the first time that I get to have my beard oils in a barbershop. My homeboy, he hit me up. And so my beard oils will be at his barbershop. He had his grand opening. And my products will be featured there, which that is dope. I have a meeting on Saturday to get my hair oils at somebody else's beauty shop. But in reality, the hair care is something I'm extremely passionate by. And my long-term goal with that is allowing people to come and have a consultation with me. And I tell them the 8 carrier oils that I live by, and then whatever essential oils that I make it like specific to them. Like that's what I'm doing right now. And that's the long-term goal.
So you said you make it specific. Now say that part again, because I missed it and I'm doing the interview.
So my long-term goal, right, is to have a place that people can come and they have a consultation and they say, hey, this is the problem with my scalp. I suffer from this, I suffer from that. Not only do I give people oils, but I give them nutrition plans as well, like something that, like food that helps their scalp. Because people don't understand, dairy is horrible for your hair. It's horrible for your scalp. But I want to make products specifically for people. Like, say you have your own product, because there's no such thing as this product works for everybody. No, your hair gets immune to it. You have to change with the evolution of how your hair actually functions. And so the hair care is what, that's my baby. I've done so much research about hair. I've been locked for maybe 2 years. Before I was locked, I was natural. I cut my hair to a shortcut. I had as much hair that it was ridiculous. But yeah, so my hair care line, that's my baby. I love that so much. It's super easy to make my oils. I know the formula because I've been doing it for so long. But yeah, she turns a year. I'm talking about she turns a year next month.
and what's the name of the hair care?
So my name is Brianna Shatif Lariel Edwards. My parents are ghetto. They gave me 2 middle names. I named my hair oils Shatif Naturals.
That's awesome. I love that, you know, you talked about also what you eat and just tailoring it to people, because that makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. What you put in is what you're going to get out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, people don't really know that how our hair is supposed to be one uniform, solid, gray strand, like silver, like shiny silver. But you see some people that's kind of dull or it's like yellow in between. Your hair is a depiction of what's your inside of your body is telling you, what's going on. Like, I don't even have it anymore. I had a gray strand here, and I went through a really rough time with stress. Stress, and I wasn't natural at the time. And I was trying to tell someone, I was like, yeah, I got a gray hair. It was probably a year ago, and I couldn't find it. So I'm looking for the gray hair, and then I found it. And then I realized that the bottom of the gray hair was gray, but the root whip turned back black. And I was like, what the heck? Mm. How does your hair go from gray to back black? And so I started to research. It was the edge. It was a chemical in the edge control that I was using. It's a bunch of chemicals. I have like I'm working on sending a full list of books. I just do too much. An ebook on the breaking down the chemicals and why they're not good for your scalp long term.
Oh, man. That's going to be huge. That's going to be huge. And that's why I always tell people that these relationships that we're building is only the beginning, right? Because when we talk about our community, these are things that we need to know and that needs to be pushed, right? Because, you know, I did tons of shows with an epidemiologist. She's out in California. And so, you know, I still post the clips of the shows that we do or that we did.
Right.
But it's so important that we take care of our health. Absolutely. And you know what I mean? And so I may have to get some, so get my beard, because I used to have a full beard, then I went through a lot, and it's just not growing the way it was. You know what I mean?
I got you.
And
I'm so, used to beard oil. I got you. Look, I got
Yeah.
Beard oil gonna have it shining a little bit, gonna be soft, gonna be straight.
gonna have my DM blowing up, girl.
Okay, listen, they're gonna fire your DM. I'm like, how your beard get like that? You like, look, hey, look, you know, it's genetic.
No, but that's super cool. Now talk about the relationship building, right? Because you have a lot of great relationships. Like you said, the oils are gonna be in your friend's barbershop. Like, give people some networking keys, because this is the number one networking show. How do you approach relationships and keep them alive?
So I'm not going to lie. I think from who I am as a person in long term, just like over the pattern of my life, I've always tried to be genuine. I'm not a negative Nancy. I'm not one of those people like, you going to get what you get when you see me, regardless. And I think based on my homeboys that me and him been through so much personal wise, like back in the day when we used to do some stuff, some kid stuff, that he trust my judgment. He know how hard I work to get to this part. And so like when it came to him, when I walked in, mind you, I was going to have a conversation with somebody else. And I didn't even know he worked at that barbershop. Like I was going to drop off an oil to a different barber, and then he was there. He was like, yo, Bree, you know I'm opening up my shop. He's like, yeah, you can have your oils in my shop. I'm like, now, granted, a lot of people talk good game. But then a month ago, he hit me up. He texted me like, didn't I tell you I'm opening up a shop? Are you going to drop the oils out or what? I'm like, oh, you were serious.
Yeah.
And like, we chopped it up and we talked about it. And he was like, no, I'm dead serious, Bree. Like, put your oils here. You got to collect the money every week, once a month, whatever. That's your stuff. Like, put it here. Like, I want to see you win. And I think it speaks to my character. I tell people all the time, like, no matter what you're going through in your day, you got to be genuine and nice. You don't know who you're going to come across. You don't know how that person's going to impact your life down the line. Like, I've always been genuine with him. I've known him since I was 14. I'm about to be 30 in 2 months. So it's just like, he just speaks to my character. But as far as networking, I have no problem having a conversation with people about my business. Like, my best friend, Shaniqua Edwards, she created these shirts called Ask Me About My Business. And so I used to wear those sweaters every time I come out the house. It's to ask me about my business. People are like, so what's your business? I'm like, boom, here go my business card. Hi, I'm Brianna. And this is the business. But you got to be willing to have conversation. And you also have to be willing to say that someone just may not agree with what you got. And I'm okay with both. So networking is all about conversing. Networking is always about being genuine. And don't go into the conversation looking to get something from someone. I just want to learn.
That's huge. That's huge, right? Because I posted a video the other day and I asked the question. I said, are you a master networker or a master manipulator? Because, you know, some people, they go into relationships with their hand out only on what they can give and what they can benefit. And I love that you spoke to that point. Like, look, I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to bring something, you know, to the table. So, I mean, that's an awesome point.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's only because I can feel that everything that's transpiring in my life is taking a turn and is shifting in the direction. I feel like I've been through so much to get to this point that it's only on the up.
Yeah.
And it just speaks to my character, who I am as an individual. That's all.
Yeah. Now, because you have so much going on, how do you center yourself? Like, how do you find that place of peace? Because I'm sure it's a constant battle, a constant adjustment.
Honestly, I don't do it good. I'm not a good person to be an example of finding balance and centering myself. Like, it's hard dating for me just because a lot of guys don't understand my grind. They don't know why.
Don't start another subject, man, but go ahead and finish.
Okay, look, a lot of guys don't understand that I can't be sitting there laying up with you all day. I got stuff to do. I got to move around. I got to drop oils off. I got to drop spices off. I got to have this business meeting with this person. Talk to my web developer. And so what I've learned is this. I lack patience. And the reason why I say I lack patience is because everything that I've ever accomplished is instant gratification, right? Being an athlete, I can see the fruits of my labor as I put the ball into the basket, right? Being a student, my grades was instant gratification, but being an entrepreneur, you don't see your wins right away. And so what I've taught myself is to trust the process, not only trust God and his plan or what he's providing me, but just say, you know what, Brianna, continue to keep working hard, continue to keep being obedient, and the steps will be ordered for you. And that's my toughest thing. What I have done lately is I implemented working back out. I love working out. Like, working out gives me like my hour of not thinking about nothing but besides hitting this weight. And then also I try to find time to just like, I've been setting boundaries with my loved ones and my friends. If I know that I can't take too much of their information they're giving me, I will let them know like, yo, I'll talk to you tomorrow, but I need this hour of me time. And that's how I've been centering myself and finding balance, but I'm working on it. I'm getting better. If you would have asked me this last July, I worked myself to the hospital. Seriously, I literally was in the hospital for like 2 days.
Man, your mind just don't stop.
Nah.
Yeah, I think a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, it's because you're always in creation mode. You're always thinking. You're always building. So it's a challenge just to sit still And like you said, because I struggle with just trusting the process. And that's what I've learned over the last year. And I look at everything like a plant, the germination process. Like, it's just stuff happening underground that I can't see. And I have to trust and believe that eventually it's going to rise above this dark situation.
100%. And you got to stick to your why you started it, right? When I think about everything that I'm doing right now, ultimately my family is always my why, right? I continue to think like I want to put my family in a position that we don't have to struggle no more. Now, granted, my mom's a nurse. She made great money, but I'm kind of tired of her being the provider. Like, she needs someone to take that burden off of her. My sister, like, I make a joke. I said, I want to be the person that had that old person that's in the picture. Like, because of that aunt, we have all of this.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with being the person that had to sacrifice sleep, sacrifice hanging out, sacrifice dating and relationships in order to put my family in a position to be successful long term. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you know what? You're thinking about the generational wealth, right? Like, and that's what I encourage. I'm like, man, we have to think that big, because when you think small just enough, that's selfish, because that means you're just thinking about you and your situation.
Absolutely. 100%. And it's the craziest thing, because like I told you about, you know, the things that I'm doing, that's my own stuff. But if I was to tell you about what I have my hands in, oh, you'd be like, this girl ain't got no time to do nothing. Because like, not only I'm trying to buy a fourplex, like I really... Because if people don't know, this is another gym. I don't know how it works in Baltimore, but in Minnesota, we have fourplexes and duplexes and apartment buildings. Well, those buildings have one mortgage. So say it's an apartment building of 90 units. They have one mortgage. That's for that whole building. So when people buy an apartment complex, it's literally a cash cow, if you ask me. Because if I have, say, my building mortgage is $10,000 a month. I got 90 units and I'm charging $800 per unit. I made back my $10,000 already. Y'all paying my mortgage.
Yeah.
And so not only am I thinking about
the way.
It is. It's a thing. I tell people all the time, life is simple. Life is 2 + 2 = 4. You just got to make sure that you know how to get to 4.
And you know what? To speak to that point, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and it was a real estate investor on there. And he was encouraging people. He said, you know what? Y'all making y'all first home purchase a single family. He said, y'all should be doing the duplex as when you get the FHA loan to get that to be the first first property you buy, because you live in one and then rent out the other three.
And you only got to stay there for 6 to 8 months and you can find another place and then rent out both. Like one of my mentors, my big brother, him and his fiance have been in 5 different houses. I'm like, why are they always moving? They own 5 properties. Now their fifth house, they just bought like their house. Like this is their house.
Yeah.
But they got 4 other properties that are giving them income.
Yeah.
And mind you, people like, oh, I don't have the money for it. They will give you the money. They will pay for it. There even is a first-time home buyers program. They'll pay for your closing costs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you this right now. This is what it is. And I posted this on my social media. The wrong with us, people that look like us, they think everything's a scam. And that is what's failing us. It's not a scam. And don't even get started about how many people I put on my credit card and charge them because I got great credit. Don't even talk. That authorized credit, authorized user.
Yeah, those credit lines. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Look, I can see it talk all day.
But it's a lot of game out here. Like you said, a lot of people think things are scams because they don't put in the time to research.
Yep. 100%. 100%.
Because it's out here right now. Like the information, the amount of podcasts that are out here now that have credible people on there. I mean, people that are like, I literally, the other day, I had a solidified millionaire on my show that took his last business that he has right now, the newest one he started up, from 0 to 10 million in 15 months.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is the information is out here.
It's readily accessible.
We got to go get it. We got to go get it. And sometimes you may have to invest in a course, a class. Like sometimes you gotta be like Nipsey said, all money in.
You got to. I'm paying $250 a month for a business class.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it because I know what I'm gaining. Like I just had a meeting today with a lady that's in the business class. And she's a Somali lady. And I told her about my hair oils. She's like, wait, the Somali, she's a representative for the Somali community. If you don't understand, Minnesota has the largest Somali community in the nation, by the way. She is a representative for the whole community. She's like, oh, I know a couple people that's looking for some oil. She set up a meeting on Saturday from the meeting that I had today with a lady that has a beauty supply store.
Wow. And that was from the business course that you invested in.
From the business course that I invested in. I'm going to make that $250 back. If I give this lady a case of 50 oils, that's $500 that's going in my pocket.
Yeah. And not only that, the relationships that you're building, like, you know, the community that you're going to be involved with, like, that's major.
Absolutely. 100%.
Goodness gracious. Man.
I'm telling you, like, I try to tell, I'm happy that I have entrepreneur friends and people that think like me. I'm trying to get my mom and my sister and them to understand the way that I think, but it's because of my father. Like, my father, he was the first illegal millionaire in our family. that's all I'm going to say about that. That's before I said, and that's all I have to say about that. But, like, he's always been business savvy, and that's just his mentality and his mindset. And even though my father didn't raise me, I feel like I am more my father than I am my mother. I have my mom's brain, like she's the smart person, but my dad's the entrepreneur. And so just like, I talk to him all the time. He's like, you think like I think. I'm like, it's crazy because nigga, you ain't raised me. But but it works for real. Like people don't understand like the relationship building, investing in yourself. I just told entrepreneur 2 days ago. I'm like, dude, spend that money for that. Buy that. It's going to come back. Invest in that. It makes sense.
Yeah. But that's good that he has you in his corner to motivate him from an entrepreneurial standpoint and not from a fearful, you know, 9-to-5, like, don't do it. Look for security. Like, no, yo, you got to go all in. Invest.
You have to. Like, I put out so much money into my business, right? And I got to a point that I have yet to figure out a way to pay myself through my business. I'm just going to be completely transparent because I always, as soon as I sell products, I re-up so that I always have, right? Especially when I'm about to launch my website, I want to make sure I have inventory. And so most of the time people are like, didn't you just make such and such? I'm like, technically I only made about X amount because I just spent $400 to buy new bottles. And so it's just like, but like people don't understand. That's why there's only 1%, the 1% of the population control 90% of the wealth, because people don't think like that 1%.
Yeah, that discipline to put the money back in. Like, you can't eat off the profit. You gotta keep that money circulating.
100%. I tell people all the time, I'm about to launch a business course on understanding how to break down your budget for people who have products. And so I look at one of my bottles, right? And I say, let's hypothetically speaking, I spend $3 to make a bottle of spices. That includes the spices, the label, the bottle, right? All right, I sell that bottle for $15. I gotta think about taxes. So taxes is gonna probably be like $1.15. So that means $4.15 of that bottle is automatically away. That means I've only now made $11 or $13. Then I'm like, all right, boom. If I wanted to double that, let's put around another $3 just in case I want to double another bottle. So technically I only made $7 for that bottle?
Yeah.
People literally have to break it down that way. And that's another thing I ask people all the time. How did you come with your price? Well, I just feel like, no, how much does it cost to make each individual item that you're selling?
Yeah.
I'll tell you this right now. I know the exact number, how much it costs to make my oil and my spices by heart. I'm like, oh, it's already programmed in my head.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. And that's huge because you have to do the numbers, right? Like, everybody's saying they want to be a millionaire, but do you even know what it takes to make the million?
How many bottles do you have to sell to make a million? I know how many bottles I got to sell to make a million. To profit a million, not to make a million. I just told somebody in a class, they said, what's your goal? I said, to make a profit of $1,500. I said, no. I'm going to probably sell $2,500. I want to make a profit. Like, $1,500 is going in my business savings account.
You talking heavy tonight.
I'm trying to help some people. I wish I would have, if I would have knew what I know now, last year, I'd have been way further. I have to do a lot of research to get here. A lot of research, a lot of trial and error.
Man, I love it. I love it, right? And so to transition in that, you know, we talked about the spices, the hair care, and you also have a podcast that you launched. What was the motivation? Give us the name, the motivation, and what the podcast is about.
Well, of course, it's Talking Spit. So I talk a lot of spit on this plan. Originally, I started off with a castmate. I had a co-host, and we used to debate sports. Like, that was the first way that Talking Spit created. His fiance, which is my teammate, she came up with the name. Thank God they let me keep it. They ain't trying to sue me and take my name. But they do well. They live in LA. They live in Santa Monica. They make really good money. They don't need my name. He on his way to be an NBA ref and some more stuff.
Okay.
So Talking Spit, honestly, in the beginning, I just wanted to provide information to people that they didn't have access to. So when I think about this information, let's say I did like a month of financial literacy. So I talked to people about budgeting and savings and credit building and real estate and how to invest your money. That was the ultimate goal. But then I had to go back to my roots and I wanted to talk about things that are uncomfortable. So this next segment, I'm relaunching in July, super excited. And when I relaunch, it's gonna be a totally different feel. Like, I just did an interview on feminine hygiene, like balancing your vagina, like just being completely transparent. We kind of got raunchy. We talked about some different things, but like, I'm going to talk about postpartum depression with one of my cousins who was a teen mom and wound up having another baby. It's just like a lot of conversations that people don't really want to talk about because they're uncomfortable is what the direction that my podcast is going into. So like, I don't have
And also to that point, to talk about it and also give people hope as well. That's huge.
Absolutely, 100%. And so like, I'm excited because I have more direction. Like now I know what I want to, like what I want my podcast to be. Now, don't get me wrong, I will do series, right? So if I ever want to do another series about financial literacy, because that's probably the most thing I'm, biggest thing that I'm most passionate by, especially when it comes to our community. Like, I know so many people that don't even know how to save correctly or how to create a budget. Like, I budget out to the teeth. Like, every check that I ever get, I'm like, half of this is going towards my rent, half of this is going towards my car note. Okay, this is the leisure money. Okay, this is how much money I can spend for food this week. I know people that just be like, oh, dang, I forgot I had this bill. I'm like, how did you forget? But yeah, so Talk and Spit, that's my baby. I'm excited. I'm relaunching in July. I wanted to relaunch in May, but hey, it happens. But I'm relaunching in July, and the content's going to be crazy. I'm excited.
That's going to be heavy. That's going to be heavy. I'm going to tune in because I love your personality. You're genuinely authentic.
Thank you. You know what I mean?
And you have a good mind here, right? Like, you're sharp. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know what I was getting into tonight. You know what I mean?
Right. Honestly, I didn't either. I said, what do you want to talk to me for? I don't know what I'm talking about.
I knew you had a lot of good stuff going on. You know, I knew you had a lot of good stuff going on. I just didn't know the personality side. You know what I mean? Which was a great thing, right? And so, what's next for you? I know you're working on a lot. What can you share with us? Maybe give us an inside view.
What's next? I'm there, my little update. What's next for me? Honestly, this is about to sound so cliche. I honestly am going to focus on the now because I've been so focused on the future and I don't even know if God's going to let me get that far. And so what I'm doing now is to continue to keep doing the work, continue to keep keeping my head down and working my butt off and building my brands. And because like I'm a person that I like to work in silence and then I like to pop out like, dang, we've been doing this. How long she been working on this for? Yeah. And so to ideally, I want all my products in the stores. I can't wait for my pitching meeting with Target. Like I've been that is what I'm really in my head. Like I can't wait to sit down and tell Target, like, you gonna buy, oh, y'all got to give me how much for these oils? Oh, bet. That, say less. I can't wait to sit down with Whole Foods and they talk to me about my spices. Like those, like that's how I'm thinking. I don't want to just be in the realm of, okay, I'm just going to be a local. No, I don't want to do that. I've never wanted that. I've always wanted to be large. And the reason why is because I want to invest in real estate. I want to buy land. Like there's things that I have in my head that requires a large amount of income. And so that's what's next. God willing. Which actually, I don't know why I said God willing. God willing, if God wants me to be in that position, it's going to happen. Yeah. I already laid out all the desires of my heart, and now I'm just trusting God in this process and trying to be as obedient as I possibly can and continue to keep putting out good into the world. There's so much hatred and so much envy and so much jealousy. And like, I just want to be known as a great person. So if that's ultimately what I'm supposed to do, then I'm okay with that. Me and God, we're good. And I genuinely mean that. And when I was a kid, I'm like, no, I want to have this much money. I want to do this. I want to own the world. But as I've gotten older, I just want to be known as a great person. That's it.
Mm. Wow. Thank you. Now we're going to end two things before we go. Let everybody know where they can follow, support you. Give them the websites because you got a couple different social media handles. But
you know
let
what?
Us know.
Y'all out, just go to my personal social media and they're all in my bio. So it's going to be Brianna with two N's. That's Brianna _ you know, the little under thing, Chatese. And that's going to be Chatese. And you can find all of it in my bio. You'll find Love and Seasoning. You'll find Talking Spit. You'll even find, I'm about to add another one soon. You'll even find Chatese Naturals. That's another little thing. I'm about to start going back to consulting because people keep asking me how to help them start their business. And I was like, you know what? y'all could pay me $50 to show y'all how to do it.
Yeah.
And so, yes, yeah, you can find all my handles there. Hopefully, my website gets launched next week. I got to take new pictures of my new bottles, and then I got to get it to my web developer, and then my site will be up and running. My business account is handled. So that's how cool. They can find all the information. They can just go there and find it all.
All right. So that's what I'll do. I'll put your main page under it because I normally page,
tell they people. Can find everything. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. And then I always like to leave on a word of encouragement before we go for people thinking about getting started, about to quit, but whatever you have on your heart, we're going to end on those last words of encouragement.
Absolutely. I got two things. This is what I tell myself every day. To everyone out there, look at something in your house and know that that started from an idea. Whatever it is, the headphones that he has on, the computer that we're both looking at, that started out from an idea that someone probably said that was crazy. So everything that you have in your head, do not be afraid to put it out to the world. That chair we sitting on, this bed, was an idea. Take your idea, formulate it, put it out into the world, and don't let nobody tell you that you can't do it. And lastly, you are more than deserving and you're more than worthy of everything that you prayed and hoped for. And that's period.
I thank you. You know what? I thoroughly enjoyed this interview. This is an instant classic. I dubbed this as an instant classic. You know what I mean? And so I thank you so much. And like I said, this is only the beginning.
100%.
So, you know, as you grow and develop, as I grow and develop into a studio and, you know, start traveling.
I can't wait till you and I sit down in person and we talking at your studio and you got people working for you and you tell them to go get you some water. Listen, manifest that. That's going to be you.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to come back when I make my first meal. You like, yo, we had this conversation. You said, I promise you, before I'm 35, I'm going to make $10 million. I've already said to myself, I got five. Before I'm 35, making $10 million. $10 million in my account. Not $10 million that I just have. $10 million I can look at my account. I say, I got $10 million in my savings
account. I love it. And that's going to happen.
And I can't wait to come back. And I need some water.
Yeah.
And cement. I'm going to be bougie when I come back.
You want the fruit in the bowl and everything?
Yeah, the fruit in the bowl, all that. Fruit
and freshly peeled and everything.
I want, to be honest, you're going to be able to afford somebody handing me a grape. Like, I'm going to just drop it. Please send everything. I'm going to share it on all my social media platforms. This was probably one of my favorite interviews that I've done. Like, I've done some interviews. And this was just like, the energy was just phenomenal. And I appreciate you reaching out to me and having this conversation because it was needed.
I appreciate that. So everybody, we out. Peace, love, and blessings. Peace.